You are about to be inspired, motivated, and your life changed. Are you ready? Welcome to the God's Love Podcast. Here's your host, David Mastin.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the God's Love Podcast. I am your host, David Mastin. Thank you for joining me on today, tonight, this morning, whenever you're listening. Hope everyone's week has gone well. Hope everyone has had a positive day, positive night. And I just appreciate you spending time with me. I appreciate you just tuning in, listening. Thank you so much for all those that have liked and shared and subscribed. We hit our 1,000 listen on last Sunday. And so I'm appreciative of that. I know it took a whole year to get there. and I know that some people, that's not, you know, necessarily a big deal. Some of them get 1,000 listens. I know some people get 1,000 listen. I can't talk today. I know some people get 1,000 listens a month. But I praise God for the small things. I praise God for the little that I'm able to receive. Cause if I'm faithful over little, he'll reward me with much. And so, that's just a principle, a godly principle that, God has consistently, proven to be in throughout all of time and throughout individuals' lives all across the world. So, thank you. Please like, share, subscribe. Make sure that you're sharing this podcast with others and that you're sharing it with people who you care about, who, whose life you want to impact. And I just pray that today, I am able to say something that, blesses you and that impacts you and that, you know, you want to share this gospel and this message and this love with others that are around you. And so I just want to really just begin today's lesson. Today's lesson, we're going to talk about some things. And we're going to, the title of this message is Mind Damage. Mind Damage. Mind Damage. So, I'm doing a devotional. I said this before in other episodes that a lot of times, I will read devotionals, and the purpose behind me reading these devotionals, especially within apps like the Bible app, is it inspires me to read my word. It inspires me to a lot of times read the Bible. And one thing that I love about it is it inspires me not to just read a verse, but it inspires me to read, a whole chapter, sometimes multiple chapters, to get a better understanding of the context behind whatever this author is talking about. And, you can find these devotionals anywhere. You can find them on, I use the Bible app. You can find devotionals really anywhere. You can buy actual book devotionals, that has, you know, topics for every single day, morning. I think Joyce Meyer has one. And they're just ways that you can get engaged in the Word of God, based off of topics and scenarios and things that you're going through in regular life. And, sometimes that's needed for me. Because, you know, sometimes it's just an inspiration, you know, it's a boost of energy to concentrate on, while I am trying to study, while I'm trying to read, and trying to digest more of God's word in my life. So, So one of the things that in my devotional time, in my devotional reading these devotionals, there was an interesting devotional done by Tony Evans, that was called "Who Controls Your Thoughts?" And in reading this devotion, I got really inspired by certain verses and scriptures in the Bible that talked about the renewing of the mind, right? And this renewal process, right? And this conversion of the mind, this reviving of the mind, this reformation of the mind, this renovation of the mind, to be what it is that God has for you and what it is in his will for you to be. And, this devotional talked about who controls your thoughts. And it talks about how we have to take notice of the thoughts that come in our mind and the thoughts that process through our mind. And we have to, in digesting that and understanding that and processing our thoughts, understand where these thoughts are coming from. And so in doing that, here's a couple of things. Thoughts that I've had. And I pray and I hope that as I go through this, that you can kind of pick up what I'm putting down or understand what I'm saying, and hopefully at the end you'll get the message in totality. So one of the things that I was thinking about while doing this devotion, this devotional, is the impacts of on the mind, right? I play football all my life. I played I think since I was in like fourth or fifth grade, fourth or fifth grade, played football since fourth grade. While I was in elementary, Flint Community Schools didn't believe in like PAL leagues and stuff like that, like Detroit had. We did flag football in the elementary and then went into middle school. And that's when I started playing tackle and, did good enough there to, play in high school and then played a little bit in college, played about 2 years in college, before I said, you know what, it's best for me just to follow God because I'm not doing good. I'm not that good and I'm getting my butt kicked every day. And the things that I was getting into, but more so, I just decided that it was probably best for me just to, you know, pursue ministry. And I miss those days. I miss my teammates. I miss having fun. I miss, you know, all of that. And some days I wish I just would have stuck it out and finished and all those things. But one of the things that I learned during that process and one of the things that I learned while playing, was there was a movie shortly after, maybe 5 or 6 years after I had got done, was this concussion deal, right? And it wasn't something that was popular in growing up. I mean, I knew concussions happened, but it wasn't something that happened a ton that I could remember. You know what I mean? In high school or in college, right? I don't remember a whole bunch of people having, concussions, right? But I remember this movie called Concussion that was about pretty much the impacts of football, that it has on the brain, right? And essentially it would cause, a form of brain damage or brain injury because of the constant impacts that would occur in a game, in practice, right? And when you think about that, you think about just that if you ever watched a football game, if you pay attention to like the line of scrimmage, it is a constant pounding every single play. It is a constant freight train accident happening every single play. One study said that each hit is about the size of a mini car accident. And so when you imagine that and imagine the impacts on the brain, you know that there has to be some type of impact that happens helmet on, strapped up and equipment on. There's still going to be some damage that's done to the brain and to the mind. Well, likewise, in this thing called life, we have impacts that happen to our mind. We have damage that happens through our minds throughout life. Maybe your damage wasn't self-inflicted, but maybe your damage was done by somebody else. Maybe your damage was done by rape. Maybe your damage was done by molestation. Maybe there was mind damage that was done through an abusive relationship. Maybe there was mind damage done. And when I say abusive relationship, I'm not talking about just hitting. Maybe emotional, maybe emotional, physical, verbal abuse and damage, right? Just consistent damage that's happening to you. And some of us have experienced mind damage so much that we have become emotionless towards life, and we no longer get happy, we no longer get sad, we stay in this non-emotional state because we have been damaged. It's hard for you to process love because you've been damaged. It's hard for you to process life because you've been good things that happen to you because you've been damaged. You can't enjoy good relationships because you've been damaged. You can't process what true love is because you've been damaged. You can't necessarily proceed in your future activities and things that are pleasurable, that used to be pleasurable, because you've been damaged. You've had these damaging things that has happened to you. For some, this damage came from the church. It came from a deacon. It came from a pastor. It came from a musician. It came from a missionary. It came through a mother in the church. You've been damaged. There's been mind damaging things that has happened to you, and because of these mind damaging things, they've begin to take hold of you and they begin to control you, and it now you cannot operate as you should because you've been damaged. And so the process now of this damaging of being damaged or being in this pain that was inflicted on you, on your mind, is used by the devil. Some of us, it was set up by the devil. And here's the deal. What I loved about this devotional is that it talked about how the devil is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, seeking whom he may conquer and destroy, seeking whom he may kill, steal and destroy, seeking whom he can consume, because, listen, The devil does not want you to succeed in anything that you do. There is nothing that he does not want you happy. He does not want you successful. And here's the deal. He may allow you to be successful. He may allow you to experience a form of success in order to devour you, because his goal is to destroy you. His goal is to take you apart. Please do not get it twisted. The Bible talks about that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and rulers and darkness. Your enemy is not necessarily your mother, your father, is not necessarily your brothers, is not necessarily your sisters, is not necessarily friends, is not necessarily something with flesh and blood, but your enemy is someone that is in darkness, that is in high places, that wants to see you fail, that wants to see you destroyed, that wants to see everything that's supposed to be good in your life, he wants to take that away from you. And whatever he has to do to take that away from you, whatever strategy he has to employ in your mind, in your life, that is what he's going to do. But he does it by messing with your mind. He does it by messing with your mind. Let's go back to Genesis when he is talking to Eve at the tree, right? And he tells Eve, did God tell you not to eat this? And Eve repeats the commandment back to him and says, hey, yes, God told me not to eat of this tree. God told me not to deal with this. God told me that I shouldn't take part of this. And here's what the devil does. He sneaks in the seeds. Man, I want to talk about this. He sneaks in seeds that will be planted into your mind that causes damage. He tells her, he says, God has told you that you will surely die. He says, but you shall not surely die, because God knows that after you eat this, you'll be like him, that you'll know the difference between good and evil. And the Bible says that after he says that to her, she begins to think, man, maybe he's right. Maybe this isn't that bad. It looks like it's good enough to eat. It looks like it's going to make me wise. I'm going to take part. But this process, my God, this process started by planting a seed in her mind. He wanted to cause mind damage. And here's where the damage came from. Eve, Adam, you're already like God. He made you in his likeness and in his image. Therefore, you're already like him. He made you seem, or he made you to appear that you are less than what God already created you. Here's the evidence. When God goes looking for them, not that he didn't know where they already were, but he wants to know, why aren't you in the place that you have been created to be in? Why are you not in this place? He asks Adam, he says, Adam, where are you? Now, again, God knows where Adam is because he's all knowing. But what he wants to know is Adam, why aren't you here talking to me? Why aren't you here taking part with me? Why aren't you here in your rightful place with me? And Adam says, we hid ourselves because we were naked. And God's response to Adam, oh God, God's response to him was, who told you were naked? Who changed your mind? Who gave you this enlightening information that you were naked? Adam, how could you hide yourself? Because before, remember, the Bible says that they were in the garden and they were naked and unashamed, but they hid themselves after their rendezvous with the devil because their eyes were open. They saw that they were naked and they hid themselves. And so God's trying to figure out, Adam, who changed your mind? Who changed how you see? Who changed how you see yourself? Who changed how you think and how you process and what you see? Who planted? Who changed that? And here's the deal. The devil, since you've been born, has been causing damage to your mind because he has been trying to make you think and sow seeds in your brain and in your mind to make you feel as if you are not that you're not enough, that you're missing something, that you're not what God made you to be, that you are insignificant, that you are not important. He's been sowing this since birth. He's been sowing that you're ugly since birth. He's been sowing that you are powerless since birth. He's been sowing it. He's been sowing it. He had the right person come at the right time to plant it in your mind and in your brain, because he's causing mind damage. He allowed you to see porn at an early age because he wanted to cause mind damage. He wanted you not to take intimacy seriously. So, oh man, he wanted to take intimacy with the opposite sex away from you. So what he does is he shows you porn early, and it's dead in your senses on sexuality. It makes sex about just pleasure and not about and about pleasuring self instead of pleasuring your partner and having a true and healthy intimacy relationship. To our men, it's causing erectile dysfunction because the only way you can get intimate is if you see some type of pornographic film. It's coming to destroy relationships because you can't be one on one because you got 6,000 different models, pornography models in your mind, and that's what you think your wife should be, is a porn model. God forbid. That should not be your example of sexuality. It's taken away our intimacy. It's taken away, what is a real expectation in our bedrooms. And it has made sex just about how you look and how you feel and how big are you? And how small are you? What are you in the right places? It has taken away and desensitized what true intimacy is, and he's done it by causing mind damage because of molestation that may have happened early. He's caused not just physical damage to you, but he's caused mind damage to you because he wants you not to be successful in your godly covenant with your partner. He uses your parents' divorce. He uses the abusive relationship to cause damage. He wants to damage you, and he wants to devour you. He wants to consume you because when he sees you, he sees what God created to be, and that irks his nerve that God would die for you and that God would shed his blood for you and that God would restore you and reconcile you back to what he caused you to be in the first place. And so this is what he does. He sends these seeds. He plants these seeds in your mind to cause damage. He wants to cause damage to you. But this is what I love about God is that after our encounter with Christ, after our encounter with Jesus, when we accept him, when we love him, when we are saved by him and he saves us and we accept his salvation into our lives, when that happens, he gives us the opportunity and the ability to regenerate our mind. Paul says in Romans 1 through 2, he says, I beseech you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed. In other words, don't adapt. Don't be a copycat of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. He says, the transformation process, oh God, where you begin to live for him now is available when you renew your mind. So he talks about the mind renewal. And in Ephesians chapter 4, he talks about putting on the new man. But before you put on the new man, he says that there has to be a renewing or a renewed mind. He's saying that your mind has to be now redone. Your mind has to be transformed. Your mind has to be now redone because of the damage that the devil did. Because just because you have accepted Jesus Christ does not mean that your mind still does not need to be renewed. So Paul says that it's not good enough just for you to accept him, but it is now you have to put him on. And in order to put him on, I have to regenerate, I have to renew, I have to revive, I have to restore, I have to reform my mind. How do I do this, Dave? How does this reformation process happen? The Bible says that this happens through the Spirit. I have to have his Holy Spirit on the inside of me. And when I receive his Holy Spirit, I now no longer follow a set of rules and regulations, because rules and regulations could not save me. It had no power over me. It just enlightened what was wrong with me. But he says, in order for your mind to be renewed, I have to now walk in the Spirit and follow the things of the Spirit. Once I have his Spirit downloaded into me, the Bible says that he writes his laws in our hearts. In other words, he tells us how to go and how to maneuver and how to operate once he downloads that his Spirit into us. So now I follow his Spirit. His Spirit now teaches me what I should do and what I should not do. But David, how do I process what his Spirit wants me to do? How do I process that? How do I understand that? How do I follow after his Spirit? One way that you do this is this. And before I continue, I want to stop for a second, and I want to read this scripture to help us understand a little bit about how we renew our minds through the Spirit. It says in Romans chapter 8, we'll do verse 5. It says, for they that are after the flesh, or the mind, do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. In other words, I my mind is renewed, and the renewal process starts once his Holy Spirit has been downloaded in me. Once I begin to follow his Spirit, and once I begin to follow him through his Spirit, I no longer mind. I hope this makes sense to some of y'all. I no longer mind the things that I no longer process things through the flesh. I no longer process things the way that I used to because I'm not using myself, as the renewal. I'm using the Spirit. The Spirit now renews me and renews my mind and regenerates my heart and regenerates and renews my mind and my process of thinking. Notice what happens when Jesus casts the Spirit out of the man that had the legion. The Bible says that he was clothed and in his right mind. In other words, when he encountered Jesus, Jesus was able to reverse the damage that had been done to his mind, because before he was out of his mind, but now he's in his right mind. So how does the Spirit does this? Well, the Spirit does this by following the Word of God. The Bible says that his word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against him. But before the Spirit came in me, I could not process his word appropriately to live by, because I always just wanted to do what I wanted to do. So how do I now do what God wants to do? I do that by and live by how he wants me to live and see things how he wants me to see. I do that by following his Spirit, and his Spirit now leads me through his word and teaches me how to live in him. To make this all simple, to make this all simplified, if you want to reverse the damage and unplant the seeds that God, that was implanted into you by the devil to devour you, you must have his Holy Spirit on the inside that will uproot what was planted in you to destroy you. God's will is for you to be successful. He wants you to be blessed. God wants you to be whole. God wants you to be healed. But the devil has planted seeds that God can't do it, that God won't do it, that your situation is hopeless, that your situation is helpless, that you can't succeed, that you won't succeed. He's been planting these seeds into your mind that causes mind damage. But Jesus wants you to accept him. He wants you to accept his Holy Spirit so that he can begin the reversal process of renewing your mind. He wants to renew your mind. He wants to reverse the mind damage. He wants to regenerate you and revive your mind to what it should. That's what Jesus wants. He wants you to begin to follow him. And you can't do that until you download his Spirit, until his Spirit is downloaded into you. And once his Spirit is downloaded into you, as you accept him and you walk with him, he begins to renew your mind. Well, why does he have to tell the church this about this renewal process? He has to tell the church this because what the church began to do is to revert back to their old ways because they didn't want to follow the Spirit. They wanted to go back to what they knew, which was following the law. Well, Paul was saying, listen, you following the law is not going to save you. It's not going to renew your mind. It's not going to reconcile you back to God. Now, notice he didn't call the law sin. He didn't say that the law was bad. But what he was saying is that if you're going to be what God wants you to be, you have to let go of the old you and follow after the new you by the renewing of your mind, which happens by following the Spirit. There's no other way. There's no other way. You can't go back to selling drugs. It's not going to renew your mind. You can't go back to the old way of doing things. it's not going to renew your mind. You can't go back to sleeping with every single person you come in contact with. It's not going to renew your mind. You can't go back to hopping from relationship to relationship. It's not going to renew your mind. It's not going to help you. It's going to just cause more damage. How many times does God have to send? Oh, man. How many times does God have to send the right person for you, but you deny that because you've been damaged? You don't know what it's like, man. I'm gonna say this, man. I gotta go because I'm way over time, but I go to therapy, and I was telling him about my previous unsuccessful relationships or whatever. And he said to me, he said, David, why do you believe that you don't deserve to be treated well? And I sat there and I just stopped. He says, David, why do you feel that way? And I said to him, I said, I just thought that this was what God wanted from me. He said, David, who told you that? Who planted that in your mind? Who told you you weren't forgiven? Who told you you weren't worthy? I'm going to tell you who told you. The devil himself has planted that in your mind because he wants you to be destroyed. He wants you to think that you're not loved. He wants you to think that you're not cared about. He wants you to think that you have to settle for any other relationship. He wants you to think that you deserve to be abused, that you don't deserve to be treated well. Who told you that? Mind damage. But if we're going to reverse it, if we're going to conquer it, we have to forget our old self and the old ways. Put on the new way, which comes by accepting our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and asking him to fill us with his Holy Spirit to renew our minds and not continue to revert back to what he took us from. And here's the deal. The Holy Spirit is available to anybody who asks. Jesus said, if you being evil men can give good gifts, how much more can your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? It's a free gift. The Bible says he's nigh thee, yet even in thy mouth, that if you confess, in other words, it starts with your mouth. It starts with you telling God to fill you with his Holy Spirit and allowing him to rule in your life. And that you begin to read his word and follow him through the reading of that word and allow his spirit to guide you through that. And you follow him and you allow him to lead you. I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you so much for your Holy Spirit, and I thank you so much, Jesus, because you have the cure. You have the cure, Jesus, for the damage that has happened in our mind. You are the cure to renew our minds. We got to follow after you. And by following after you, we deny ourselves, and our minds begin that to be renewed and to be rethought. It doesn't make us perfect, but God, it reprocesses how we think and to think the thoughts that you would have for us. So Father, I come against every demonic attack against my brother and sister that has come to attack their mind. And I say in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for you to be set free. That you be free in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as my brother hears my voice, as my sister hears my voice, Father, I pray that you begin to set their minds free. And I thank you and I praise you, Jesus. Heal our minds, God. Reverse the damage. And I thank you and I praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, thank y'all so much. I'm so sorry. I try to keep these at 30 minutes, but today, man, I felt that it was extremely important to talk about what we needed to talk about today. Please like, share, and subscribe. Share this message with somebody. Share it with a friend. Tell somebody about it. And I can't wait again. Guys, exciting announcement. I am setting things up to be able to start doing video portions of the podcast as well. There's a couple that we did already, but I was able to buy a couple of some equipment to be able to go back to doing the videos for our podcast. So that'll be coming out soon. Again, thank you all so much just for all that you do and everything that you've done. I appreciate you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for liking. Please continue to share. And I hope that this blesses you. Until we meet again, peace.
Thank you for listening to the God's Love Podcast. Subscribe, share, and stream on all podcast streaming outlets.